some reflections. Now, that's the best thing since sliced bread. Well, that's a phrase often used to describe a really good idea or even some really good news. They're a similar kind of thing quite often. Interestingly, there is also a similar parallel going on inside today's text from John's Gospel, where just one word can mean both bread and good news. Okay, let me stop me being cryptic and explain a little more clearly of a gem of information that I came across in a commentary by a fantastic biblical scholar called Margaret Barker. And so this is on her commentary on John chapter 6. And as you will have noticed, Jesus has been talking about himself as being the bread of life. So that's in verse 35 and 48. Or the living bread that came down from heaven. That's another phrase that's repeated in verse 41 and 51. And all of this happens just after the feeding of the 5,000. Unfortunately, in the Bible, I only counted the men that turned up, so it's a lot more than 5,000 because they didn't count the women and the children. But this talk of bread suddenly takes on a whole new aspect in verse 51 when Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you will live forever. The bread that I will give you is my flesh, which I give so that the world may live." Now, this happens to be one of those bits of the Bible that I've always struggled with, and I suspect that I'm not the only one. As it sounds to our ears like some kind of really weird version of cannibalism, sort of thing you'd expect to be confined to a wacky religious sect that really ought to have been shut down by now. But there it is in the Bible. What's going on? Well, this is another one of those occasions where it is vitally important to understand something of the original setting. For Jesus is making use of a clever little play on words when he suddenly uses the word, and I can't pronounce it, but it's something like basar. And that gets translated into English as flesh. But basar is a Hebrew word. It would have been understood by many of those listening to him because he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And that word basar can mean flesh, and equally so, it might mean good news. So when I was sat in my study reading that, I suddenly had one of those little light bulb moments. Somebody at Princes Street gave it to me. I couldn't resist that. You see, Jesus is not advocating some kind of bonkers literal idea. What he's talking about is how he, as the one sent by God, will give eternal life. Eating is essential. In basic terms, it keeps you alive. But it's a process that needs to be repeated. Eating bread will only keep you sustained one day at a time, just like the manna did for the Israelites during their escape from Egypt. And just like it did for the 5,000 plus hungry people on the hillside. And they had now come back for some more. But Jesus used the miracle of feeding to point onwards to something far, far more important than just daily bread. As he said in verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has put his mark of approval upon him." this is the kind of food that truly is good news. The sort that does a lot more than just fill you up for the next few hours. For this is the sort of food that brings to us nothing other than eternal life. Which is where Jesus' wordplay comes in. As I said, he was speaking in a synagogue. And those who were listening would have begun starting to make connections with what Jesus was talking about and two of their established religious practices. The first connection may well have been something to do with the holy bread that the Jews of the day had. It was a special kind of bread that was taken and placed on a very ornate table in the temple in Jerusalem. And it could only be eaten by the priests, the reason being that eating this special bread imparted holiness to the priests. Is this now Jesus saying he is the one who imparts holiness? Maybe. Secondly, when Jesus introduces this idea of flesh, his audience may well have started to make connections with the sacrificial lamb at Passover. We were told earlier on in verse 4, we didn't read it, but if you want to flick back in your Bible, in verse 4, we're told that it was approaching the time of year of the Passover when all of this took place. And little did they know of the significance of that Passover meal to come when Jesus took a loaf, shared it among the disciples and said, "This is my body." But there's another layer to it as well. According to Barker, the way that Jesus was speaking had started to make connections with another Jewish festival, the Day of Atonement. And that is the day when the great high priest made an offering. And that offering gave new life to the whole world. What Jesus was saying when he said that he is the good news is that he replaces the high priest and the whole systems of offerings. He is saying that he gave himself. He gives himself. And that giving gives new life. That his words, his teaching, and we know now with the benefit of hindsight, his sacrifice brings new life. And a whole new way of doing faith. And that must have been absolutely stunning for those who heard it for the first time, both in a good and a bad way. We are told that for many, this was just too much to accept or too difficult to understand. Well, it's perfectly understandable, really, as their whole system of religious practice had just been replaced. But the implication of who was replacing them was absolutely huge, because the only person who could do that was God. And standing there, right in front of them, in the very person of Jesus. Many would not, many could not cope with that, and as we're told in the Bible, many got up and left. But some of them, the disciples, actually got it. They understood that Jesus really is the bread of eternal life. He really is God's good news. As Peter said in his response to Jesus, "You have the words that give eternal life, and now we believe and know that you are the Holy One who has come from God." That's verses 68 and 69. And that remains a challenge to humanity today. How will we react to Jesus? Do we say, oh, this is too difficult to understand. This is just too much to stomach. You might even say, completely deluded, and then just walk away. Or do we accept the bread of heaven, the good news of the new life when it is offered to us? Will we echo Peter's words and confess, yes, Jesus, you have the words that give eternal life, and now we believe and know that you are the Holy One who has come from God? Will we do that? Well, very, very soon we're going to welcome Keith into church membership. It will mark a really important day in your life, Keith. And it also marks a really important day in the life of this church as Keith reaffirms the promises made at his baptism. And he will publicly acknowledge Jesus as his Saviour. And then later on, Keith and the rest of us will accept the bread of eternal life that is the good news of Jesus. Through words and actions of faith and commitment, through the symbols of bread broken and shared, cups of wine drunk together, we see and we experience the very simple but indescribable power of God in Jesus, brought right into our very souls, right into our presence here and now, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that, well, that really is good news. Amen.